You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. This is a very special episode of IGN GameScoop. It's episode 400. Ooh, and joining me for this milestone is Justin Davis, hey. Andrew Goldfarb, hello. Back after way too long, yep. And Brian Altano is
rap,
here.
Rap.
I brought along our friend Corbell as well. we're gonna pop some bubbly up in here. Club going up on a Wednesday afternoon.
I'm very nervous about where this cork is going.
You don't need to be. Your
I'm worried about where this Wednesday afternoon's going.
I think we all know where this is going. We're gonna reminisce a little bit about the big changes that have happened to video games over the last 10 years. Ten years ago, this summer, is when GameScoop started.
10 years of GameScoop.
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy.
So long.
And then we're gonna look forward a little bit to the next couple weeks to Gamescom. Andrew and Brian and I are all going to Gamescom, so we're gonna give you a little preview of what to expect from that.
So
the next 400 episodes.
Yeah, we're gonna preview the next, we have clips. We have a clip reel lined up to show you what's coming up over the next 400.
Check that out. Episode 800.
GameScoop, okay, 800.
Wow. I'm going to shoot it towards the camera.
I don't think any show should turn 800.
Yeah, towards the expense.
Oh!
My God.
Man, that could have gone so bad in so many different.
No, it's a special effect, Brian.
Yeah, it wasn't real.
We've been training with our stunt coordinators all afternoon.
We added that in post.
Yeah.
Man. That really could have that could have set off a chain reaction.
Is that a bad idea? Should I not have done that?
No, it's done. It doesn't matter.
Fine.
Let me take you guys back to
my
the summer.
Doesn't know, won't hurt him.
Let me take you guys back to the summer of 2006.
The hit song by.
Whoops.
I don't know. TLC probably was
2006? I don't know, man. I don't think TLC
don't
had a hit song in 2006.
I don't know what the hit song of that year was. Oh, cheers, by the way.
Cheers.
A bit of the bubs, as they say. The buble. Cheers, fellas.
I'm going to go under.
10 years of GameScoop.
Happy birthday, GameScoop, you old man.
Yeah.
You 10-year-old. It's fine.
Okay. The summer was 2006. IGN was covering the Xbox, the PlayStation 2, the GameCube, and the Xbox 360. It had been out for probably about 7 months at that point. The Wii had just been announced, previously known as the Nintendo Revolution.
Now you're still laughing at the title.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it and the PS3 would be out in 6 months.
Was that when they showed the box but not the controller?
No, that was the Wii U.
Oh, yes. That sounds right. So weird.
Oh, yeah. What a weird box that was.
Yep. In the news, in the summer of 2006, Half-Life 2 Episode 1 was released. And this is actually from an article on IGN that summer. In a recent interview with Eurogamer,
Valve revealed that the just-released Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and the forthcoming Episodes 2 and 3 will serve as the third game in the series. Rather than make gamers wait another 6+ years for Half-Life 3, the developer thought people might appreciate playing the game in smaller chunks if they didn't have to wait as long. Cut to 10 years later. We're getting new screens from Zelda Twilight Princess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That everyone was very excited about. We got new screens of Battlefield 2142. Jeez. And now we've got new screens of Battlefield 1.
Yeah, it's kind of it's cool that all these franchises are still around.
Yeah,
it's something. Yeah.
There was a new map pack release for Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah.
That game got a map pack?
Yeah.
Rit? I didn't remember that.
We just published the first HD video of Heavy Rain.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sawing the finger off, I hope.
Spoilers, man. What the hell?
Here's a headline from June 13th, 2006. Duke Nukem Forever coming this year?
That's really good.
We put up screens of Super Monkey Ball on Wii.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Oh, one of Justin and I's favorite games of all time.
Well, so, yeah, except for the Wii one is where things started to go sideways.
Oh, that's true.
You don't want a jump button in Monkey Ball. Get out of there.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Blizzard was banning gold farmers in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
Gold farmers?
Gold farmers.
Gold farmers. No
my,
more
my
gold
people.
Farmers.
That was when my family business shifted.
We reviewed Mega Man Battle Network 6 on the Game Boy Advance.
Wow.
Jesus. They made at least 6 of those games.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
And in the summer of 2006, Prey was released. The first Prey.
Wow.
And just at E3, we got the first trailer for Prey 2, 10 years later.
Yep.
Prey 1 was a very, very different game than what it looks like Prey 2 is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what Prey 2 was.
So summer of 2006 wasn't so great, but later that year, I think
we got two consoles that year.
We got two consoles, and I think we got Oblivion on the Xbox and PC. Mm,
I think it was an early 2006 release, like January maybe.
That's when weird to me that there's consoles, like a lot of consoles do this, like the Genesis was around for over a year before Sonic the Hedgehog came out. And the Xbox 360 was around for a while, like without, you know, Gears of War and some of its defining games. It's weird to go back and look at launch lineups and you're like, oh, that's...
Yeah, because it was like Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, Call of Duty 2 launched, and there wasn't Halo or Gears or like, you know, any of the stuff like open world games will go on to define the gen with stuff like Assassin's Creed, and we hadn't seen any of that yet.
Yeah. Now, it's hard to find IGN traffic numbers for stuff going way back.
Wow.
But as far as long as we've been had tools readily accessible to us to keep track of these things. What do you think is the highest trafficked news story on IGN?
Of that year?
No, of like in our history.
Oh, in the 10 years.
The 10 years, in say the past 5 years is like as long as we've really had tools readily available to us to track.
Probably a console announcement.
News specifically or just
news? News, not like
a feature. Video game news, it's not like Marvel.
Video game news. Okay. Not a feature.
It was a huge deal when PSN was down. And this is a little bit inside baseball, but we ranked really high on Google searches for stuff like PSN down. So that kept getting traffic forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet it's not like the PS4 announced article. It's probably...
It's something that would have a really, really long... Like something that would get 5,000 views a day for life instead of something that's...
Is it Nintendo 2DS announced?
That's actually number 4.
Really? Yeah. Because I knew that did really well because people were like, is this a joke?
Yeah. We didn't believe you.
Did you publish a typo?
We made Jose and Brian draw it in separate rooms.
You guys, no one believed us.
You guys got pre-briefed or you got that news a little bit before the rest of us, and when you were texting us, we couldn't tell if it was real or not.
Well, because I didn't think it was real either. So we didn't get pre-briefed. Jose Otero and I, who works here at IGN, we sat down in a room in Redwood City here, where Nintendo has offices, and Reggie Fils-Aimé walked in by himself and sat down. And he was just like, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to." And we're like, "No one's here but us." He did an E3 press conference for two people, and he was like, "And that's why we're proud to announce the Nintendo 2DS." And he pulled it out, and I was just like, that's not fucking
Where's
real.
The camera There's in the no wall? Way. Where's What's right. about to happen? Some man's about to leap out from behind a bush and
All right, so that was number 4.
Yeah, number 1 was GTA 5 online heists finally revealed.
Wow. The biggest news story of the last 5 years?
Yeah.
So just millions of page views?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder who wrote it. It's probably Mitch.
Well, in GTA 5 is our number 1 review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. That I knew.
Then number 2, Xbox One will not require internet or restrict use games.
That was a huge deal that flip-flopped.
Yeah. That was, I believe, Patrick, a giant bomb broke that. And then we started writing it, and then Microsoft just like opened the floodgates. And I remember Keza and Mitch made this incredible video where they had a pile of paper and they were reading all the rules and just throwing them out as they went.
Number three, PlayStation 4 revealed.
Yep. Wow.
And then Nintendo announces 2DS.
I think both of those were me. Just saying.
Well, you are the news editor.
Kind of a big deal.
You were here when for the 2DS thing? Was that before you left? Or
that was before I left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
You pulled a Steve Butts, as we call it.
And a Scott Lowe.
And a Scott Lowe.
And a Matt Wong.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Jason Getchell.
No, I like to think they pulled an Andrew Goldfarb.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah. They were gold farming in WoW for a little bit.
Yep. I was thinking about the 10 years that I've been hosting the show and covering video games. I was thinking about what are the big news stories that stuck out to me, the big changes, the big trends. And I made a little list here.
Oh,
we can go through them. I think Xbox Live was a huge game changer. Before there was Xbox Live, you know, they had Xbox Live on the original Xbox, but it really didn't flourish until it was Xbox 360.
Yeah. Yep.
Before then, I would turn on a console and it was just, that was it.
Yeah.
Only it was just me in my room and there was nothing else happening. And now I turn on a console and I can see all my friends, I can see what they're playing. There's a store I can visit, there's advertisements popping up in my face.
Yeah.
So for better or for worse, that was a huge game changer.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, having the internet baked into the operating system on a deep fundamental level, like today, it's like, sort of thing. But back in 2005, it wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, every blade was enriched with, you know, friend data and other online data. Every game had to have a demo, which I actually walked back, like, you don't have to anymore. But when I got my Xbox 360, I was just saying there were no games for it for like a year. And I would download demos of stuff like table tennis that wasn't a year
one game. Dude, the Fight Night and the Burnout demos.
The Fight Night demo,
I played those. I played those for longer than I've played some retail games.
Yep.
Like, just that one loop in Burnout where you just had to keep crashing into cars and seeing how many you could crash.
And seeing how pretty Fight Night was?
Right? Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, a really cool thing about Xbox Live Arcade specifically was that it opened up doors for a lot of games that I don't think you would ever see on retail shelves. And you got very in, like, on the ground floor of Xbox Summer of Arcade. You were playing a lot of those games. We were talking about them a lot here at IGN. We were big champions of that idea of making a game that I believe had to be under 512 megabytes.
It was way less than that.
Was it less than that?
It was like 50 megs.
Originally it was like 15 megs.
Oh, the 512 was when they raised the cap.
Yeah, because it had to work on the arcade, which only had 256 megs, I think.
Didn't come with a...
And that's like...
They had to raise it for like Shadow Complex?
Yeah.
It was one of the games that raised it.
I mean, if you look at that, that's actually kind of the closest we've come to sort of being in the NES era again.
Yeah.
Where publishers are making and developers are making very weird games, and they are limited by the size constraints, which isn't really a thing anymore. Like, I downloaded Ape Escape HD today, and it was 2 gigs. Because they're just like, who cares? Right? But back then, you had to make, like, people were like, I want to make a 3D platforming game. I want to make a Monkey Ball style game. I want to make a 2D platforming game. It's got to fit in this little box. And it's games that you never would have seen on the shelves, because it costs money to put to retail packaging and all that. So it was really cool. It was a really cool time.
Well, and it's great to see, like, the PC is a great space for those sort of games, but to give them a life on consoles, not even a life, but a very, very successful, you know, tremendous source of revenue just made, it's Xbox Live, you know, and later PSN and eShop that made sort of, people can leave their big jobs at big publishers and work with one or two other dudes and make the game that they want to make. It's great.
Something like Super Meat Boy, right?
Yeah. Or, like, Braid redefined Jonathan Blow's career.
Yep. It's certainly a seismic shift in the gaming landscape. Before the internet was baked into your consoles, there weren't indie games on consoles.
No.
There weren't indie games on the Nintendo 64.
You would pay GameCube. $30 for an alien hominid on
disc. Was like the closest you could get to an indie game on your console.
Katamari was
And well, the reason for that was the proprietary discs and cartridges that people used.
They're
and
expensive.
It was just the hurdle to make a game. Nintendo back in the day would sell cartridges for $50 and they would sell that blank cartridge to publishers for like $38.
Yep.
Which means that they had to split that $15 profit with 15 different places.
Yeah, and it's distribution too. Like, it was all the retail chain stuff, and it was like making sure there was packaging and it had to fit standards. Whereas now it's literally like you finish your game, it's up on Steam or iOS 15 minutes after you finish it.
You don't even have to finish your game anymore. You just put it on Steam.
Yeah, in early access. Yeah.
People will figure it out.
Yeah,
so finish it for you.
Now, Damon, you're just a professional, handsome man here at IGN, a permanent host.
Well, man, let's say that, professional man.
Sure. Well, I mean, that was maybe me editorializing a little bit. But that was your title for a while, right? You were the downloadable
I was content. The downloadable games editor for a good time. And that was a really good gig. Because it was like right when you said, like you said, the Xbox Live Arcade was exploding.
Yeah.
And I got to cover all the cool like PlayStation Network games and WiiWare.
You had kept that job, you'd be screwed because that's literally every game.
I know. That's
like
why
Skyrim.
I mean, that's why we had to sort of get rid of that position. Yeah. Like, it was a novelty at first. And now every game is downloadable.
Well, and I don't remember what.
All right, downloadable games editor, time to review Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain.
Yep. Yeah, I'd like to go back in time and track down. I don't remember the game, but I remember it being a big deal when a big $60 game, like, hey, buy it on disc or buy it digitally, and there was no. It was the same. It was just the same thing, and it didn't make a difference.
I think it was Skyrim because I remember Game of the Year 2011. We had this like massive argument over whether or not best downloadable game would still be a category.
Yeah. We eventually
did
away with
it. It was such a big deal, and we killed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But removing the barrier to entry for indie developers made it so many, many more people could make games, right? So now you have more, you have this explosion of small development teams. More and more people making games than ever. And it also sort of did away with the mid-tier game.
Yeah.
So now there's like AAA games and indie games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that's the majority of what we have now.
You're seeing, you know, Ubisoft do, you know, some 2D Assassin's Creeds that are sort of mid, like you see the big tier publishers do some smaller projects and you see smaller indies sometimes punch above their weight and make, you know, $30 games. But for the most part, they're very separate.
And today I would think of a mid-tier game as like an Atlas JRPG that they publish.
Like Homefront. Mercenaries.
And that's the thing, like, that's what I was going to say. It's weird because it's almost like there's indie and then there's like AAA and AAA Plus in that you have like your Activisions and your EAs that are like gigantic, but then you still kind of have, in place of like THQ, you have like Deep Silver, who like is a AAA publisher, but they only put out like three games a year.
Well, and is Saints Row AAA the way that like GTA is?
And is Homefront?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point too.
Yeah. That they're probably a mid-tier developer. No shame in that.
No.
I think we've also witnessed the migration of the shovelware market away from consoles to mobile.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just like no more shovelware on consoles anymore.
Except that Ghostbusters game. It's like only one. That's why that was such a big deal recently, because like that Activision Ghostbusters game is such an anachronism.
Yeah.
Like it was a game that was rushed to market to come out with a movie, and like that doesn't happen anymore.
Shovelware still exists. You'll never see it on shelves anymore for consoles or for handhelds even. But if you dig around the stores on all these places, you'll still find it. Those old ghosts are still there. I was on the 3DS store the other day, and they have like this. You'll check in. 3DS is like one of the best selling systems of all time. It's got like this incredibly robust library. You start digging around in the store and you're like, oh, there's a lot of trash here.
Yeah.
And one of the newest ones was this, like, it was just like Horse Kid. And you're like, what's this? Like just utter nonsense games. And they're like, I think they're iPhone ports or Android ports or something like that.
Remember the shovelware for the Wii and the DS?
Oh my god. It was, you couldn't.
Like I didn't understand. Like,
the PS2. Like, the Imagine Babies series. Yeah.
It dominated shelves. You would go to like a Best Buy to the Wii section and you'd be looking for every Zelda or Mario, there were 400 like Circus Family.
Yep.
And you're like, what's this?
I remember around the Olympics,
Zorda.
Like you would have like your like major Olympic sponsor titles, but then you had like these like weird like B-tier Olympics games that would all come out at once, where it was like Olympic, whatever, like shuffleboard, and it was just like some awful.
But you know, they're all. It was Midway, I believe. There was this like. There was this circus mini game collection that came out on Wii that cracked the top 10 MPD. Like,
wasn't that Carnival Games?
I think Carnival Games sold millions of copies.
Yep. I want to say it was 2K though.
Yeah. Was it 2K? And no one really figured out how or why, but everyone kept trying to replicate the success of that.
Yep.
And Wii Play and Wii Sports. So they were just taking it was a dumping ground for terrible mini game collections.
We used to go to industry events, like a Ubisoft event, and we're here to like preview their games, and we'd have to sit down to a Nintendo DS, and they'd be like, here's a quit smoking application for the Nintendo DS that we're like, IGN, a video game site, is like supposed to cover somehow.
It's crazy.
Like, here's my preview of this quit smoking cartridge for the DS.
There was that walking game that Nintendo put out. Like,
dude, my mom is obsessed with that walking game. She still plays it.
That's so cool.
She has her Wii hooked up and she still does her steps every day.
Oh my god.
It is so crazy thinking about the launch of like DS was like sprung that weird dating sim
game. The Rub Rabbits.
And Feel the Magic.
Yeah.
And like all of those like
Ping Pals?
Ping Pals. Yeah.
How many people paid $20 for Ping Pals?
Ping Pals let you send instant messages to people who also had Ping Pals.
Yeah.
AKA nobody. Yeah. It was such a weird launch. There was like a 2D or 2.5D Spider-Man game.
Yep.
There was
I had that game.
The Sims Herbs or whatever, where they all had afros. Like, it was just
Sims in the City.
Yeah. And then Super Mario 64 and Yoshi's Touch and Go were, the only first party games on the. It's so
funny. When was Meteos? Meteos was right near the beginning.
Meteos is up there.
I thought that was a little later, though. Was it right away?
I think it was like a couple. There was like that launch window where there would be like, I think Mario 64 was there too, where you couldn't get it day one, but you got it right after.
So it's weird because, like, you think about this era, like, I think about this era the way I think about cave paintings. Like, it's like, it was so long ago. It was so weird. The way we buy games are different. The way games are made is different. You don't see stuff like this anymore.
And then IGN said, let's make a podcast about video game news.
Exactly how Tal's voice pronounced it. And welcome to IGN's podcast series. That's what we play at the beginning of our podcast.
We should put it at the beginning of this one.
I can probably hunt that down. Speaking of Nintendo, we've seen Nintendo over the past 10 years.
Right? They've been on a roller coaster. Yeah.
Right? So
they've been playing some carnival games
at the end of the GameCube's life, they had taken some beatings, right? Yep. They were really, really struggling to compete against Sony in particular and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Then the Wii was like lightning, and they
But the year...
Incredible success story.
The period from when they announced that console's name and concept to when it came out was like gotta be the darkest period in that company's life. People couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, people could not believe that they were calling a console the Wii. Like, it was just the most unbelievable thing.
Yeah.
And then it came out.
You couldn't even find it. For like a year.
It was
over a year, you couldn't find a Wii.
There were like $900 eBay auctions.
I took my Wii from a young boy.
Wow.
I've told this story
And now
before.
You're a father. How does that feel?
Well, that's fine.
No, I remember like driving around.
It's young boys he hates specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember driving around that like holiday season, and there'd be like signs on the road like a Wii, $1,500. You know, call this phone number.
So I went. It was funny because I visited my parents in a very tiny Connecticut town, and a Walmart had just opened. It's like the one thing in that town, and they had Wiis just sitting on the shelf. Like, I was visiting them. It was like during Thanksgiving, and I went in, and they just had Wiis sitting there for retail price, and I lost my mind.
And they like dripped out. You would see these posts on like Reddit wasn't that big of a place anymore, but like people would be like, they got 8 at a Target in North Carolina, and like they were just dripping out across the country for like
Circuit
months.
Cities would hand out tickets, and people would have to wait outside in the heat, and like, oh, we ended up only getting 6. Sorry, ticket holder number 7. It's crazy.
And then of course the Wii sort of like petered out after a while.
Yeah.
And then
after
the Wii
selling 100 million Wii.
Yes. And the Wii U has sold, 13 million?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
4 years.
For their best selling console and their worst selling console back to back.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
It is crazy. Now we're on the kind of the eve of the NX. Still don't really know.
Which could totally go either way. Yeah. I mean, based on everything we know on it, I have no. It's safe to say it won't do Wii numbers. I'd be amazed if anything does that ever again. That was lightning in a bottle for the console industry.
That also became out before, again, the iPhone and mobile gaming exploded. Yep.
I mean, so Sony...
That, very well timed.
That casual market that wants to play games, those kind of games, they've all moved over to mobile.
They have them.
Well,
they have
and I also wonder, are they still using their Wii? Like, my mom, I think, is still using like an iPhone 4. She's like, I have an iPhone. What do I need a new iPhone for? And she still has her Wii hooked up. Like, for people that are super casual into video games and just want to play a video game once in a while, why do they need the new console?
Yeah, my mom still watches Netflix on her Wii.
Exactly.
Like, stop it. Like, you have, like, devices
you have a smart
that run
TV.
It.
You can run Netflix on your TV. Another big phenomenon that sticks out to me over the past 10 years is the whole Rock Band, Guitar Hero, music game craze.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That also, like, skyrocketed and then crashed.
This will last forever.
Yeah. So at first there was Guitar Hero, but it was just guitar.
And it was all covers.
Yeah. And then Rock Band came out and it was a full band, and then, like, that was the party game for what, 3 years?
Yeah. You couldn't spend time with friends for like 2 years there without that being.
It's like, that's what you do. Yep.
Yeah, that's what you did.
You went to the bars, then you go back to the house and play Rock Band.
Yep. And people would be like, I'm having a party. Sometimes I went to a bar, I remember a couple times going to bars and they were in the bar.
Yeah.
And they were just, it was like, you couldn't get a band? Like, there's just guys that you know are in the corner just that jamming out?
That perfectly hit my college years. So it was like, Guitar Hero 2 more so than 1, and then Rock Band 1 were like, just, seriously, every time it was coming from the bar, play Guitar Hero drunk and tell everybody just goes to bed, basically.
Yeah. And then, so after Rock Band, Guitar Hero followed suit with their full band games.
Yep.
And then they just went, like, back to back, and then there was like the Beatles Rock Band and Green Day Rock Band and Guitar Hero Metallica.
Yeah. When did it peter out? I feel like Metallica is when it kind of started to
Did I dream that there was a Van Halen one?
Yeah.
The one that we just had discs 10,000 copies.
When Ryan McCaffrey started,
are they still in a drawer somewhere?
Probably, because someone as a joke sent him 1,000 copies of Guitar Hero Van Halen. They were like the promotional ones.
Yeah.
You're not being hyperbolic, by the way. It's literally a thousand.
Yeah. I think it was probably, and I actually really, really like Green Day. They're one of my favorite bands, but they don't get their own dedicated Rock Band edition.
Yeah.
You don't go from the Beatles to Green Day.
Yep. Yeah.
That's when you know.
Like other guys were creating their own, like Konami had their own really crappy, I forget what it was called, Music Revolution or something.
Oh, there were everywhere. There were all these like weird.
I had Taiko Drum Master.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's, I mean.
Yeah. I think that was sort of like.
That's more like a Samba de Amigo.
Yeah. And that's so big in arcades still, even in Japan.
But that translated over to, there were a lot of like now karaoke singing games. There was like SingStar. There was Just Dance kind of sprung out
DJ
from all
Hero.
Of that. Like DJ Hero, which was like. Yeah. I was
those
like,
are good games.
Yeah, I was like super ready to be completely hooked by DJ Hero, and it grabbed me to an extent. But there's DJ Hero has like left such an imprint on me that I still can't listen to like Gwen Stefani's "Holla Back Girl," which without hearing all the songs they mashed in with it, it was a weird time. And Goldfarb and I were walking around. I'll put it this way: for years, when you went to E3. Rock Band Guitar Hero had gigantic booths, just huge, huge, like Nintendo size, Sony size booths. We went to E3 this year. Goldfarb and I were walking around one of those times where we weren't doing other stuff. We had just 20 minutes to kind of stroll. The Rock Band, was it Rock Band?
It was Rock Band. They were over by like the peripheral section.
The Rock Band booth was the size of these couches and this carpet. Yeah. That was it. And it was just like there was one kid playing and there was one TV and it was like, wow, what happened?
They tried bringing it back last year, but
And well, same Guitar Hero Live and Rock Band 4 both just kind of, I mean, there was like a little bit of interest for a second, but I don't think.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, they even made that DS Guitar Hero with that awful like strap around thing. You played it sideways.
And it made no sense because then they started putting out different models of DSs and it didn't.
I have that thing. It gloms onto your old DS.
It only has four buttons.
Wow.
When Guitar Hero came out, I still lived in Iowa. I hadn't moved to San Francisco yet. And I played the game with my wife, girlfriend at the time a little bit, but it was mainly just something I did at home. I didn't play with a bunch of other people. And I got I got pretty drunk one night and set a bunch of high scores in Guitar Hero that then I could never beat sober.
Really?
Wow. So
that was kind of the end of the game for me. I'm like, well, I can't, like, I don't know why, I hit the peak. I found it.
Wow, you found that perfect, well, there is that perfect, like, kind of.
Yeah.
There's this perfect note in your brain that you knock when you've had just enough drinks.
Yeah.
Where you're playing just like a genius, and then you have one more.
I'm just
drink,
not thinking about
and
then it.
You're awful. And it's a complete
yeah.
Those games are funny because like it was such a good party game, and then I graduated college. And I had that summer in between college was done. I hadn't moved to New York yet, and Guitar Hero 3 was out, and I was like, I'm gonna get all the achievements in this one. And like after a certain point, it's like beat everything on expert, and I was like, okay, never mind. Through the fire and flames, probably not gonna happen.
I think Guitar Hero 3. We ran a feature that was the worst or hardest achievements ever. And that's an achievement for beating, like, whatever their super marathon playlist is, and you're not allowed to pause, and you're not allowed to do, you have to do it straight through. You can't fake it. And it's like, and I think it's like 12 hours. Like, and you can't pause.
That's insane.
And, like, people said that, like, their controller battery died and disconnected 8 hours in, and they lost their progress.
Oh.
Some guy said that he rigged up, like, a mirror in his bathroom so that he can play and, like, go to the bathroom. Or, like, he knew, I think he played bass, and there's, like, a 60-second stretch 6 hours in one song where you don't have to play. And that was, his bathroom break.
That's amazing.
It's the
horrible.
Worst.
I forget there was one terrible music game where like the drums were just sensors on the ground that would just like read where you're hitting. You're not actually physically hitting anything, and it never worked.
Yep.
And then there was, of course, Wii Music.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say.
I remember that E3. That was weird.
The worst thing Miyamoto's ever done, probably.
I mean.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah, I would rather play the Virtual Boy.
For sure. I mean, Virtual Boy there's a Wario Land game on the Virtual Boy that's awesome. Yeah. You know, Mario Clash is fun. Nestor's Funky Bowling is fun. Wii Music is a wreck.
Yeah, there's that classic E3 moment with the drummer on stage.
Ravi drums,
it's so weird,
It's crazy.
I think that was kind of when you started to see the wheels come off of that car, right? Like, that's when it was just like, oh, what's going on over there?
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, in 2006, I don't think YouTube existed yet. Is that a thing?
It may have existed.
Maybe in like some form, but
IGN was certainly not putting its videos on YouTube yet.
We saw them as a competitor, probably. Yeah. Like, I remember Fran, even when I started, which was 5 years after that, Fran still talked about YouTube like a competitor.
Well.
And early YouTube didn't have comments, didn't have upvoting. It was just
It was
videos.
Great.
And then that, of course, gave rise to game spectating.
Yeah,
like, that's a whole thing now. Like, people don't just play games; they will literally they'll just watch games for hours.
So I actually
happy to do it.
So I interviewed Mark Summers from Double Dare at Comic-Con, and I realized during the interview that Nick Arcade on Nickelodeon was technically the first Twitch stream.
That's
How
pretty
so?
Good, because they would like, watch people
play
video games.
It was people
watching
other people play video games through our TVs. And it was the first time I'd ever actually done that, because usually you play games yourself, you watch your brother play, you go to your friend's house, and that was the first time you could turn on the TV and just watch other people play, like, Sonic the Hedgehog levels. And you'd be like, oh, better than him, and, like, yell at your TV.
That's how it started.
Yeah, that's how it all started.
Yeah, and those VHS tapes Nintendo would send out of, like, Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah,
Donkey Kong.
Oh, man, Donkey. Where we saw Nintendo Treehouse for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they put up all that weird Nintendo Power fan art that they got.
Game spectating came up in the past decade. Esports really exploded. We mentioned the Nintendo Wii motion controls were a thing for a second that every console had to have.
Yep.
PlayStation Move and Xbox Kinect.
It's crazy that they all did the same thing in radically different ways.
Yep.
Yeah. And that Move is sort of back? Still going to be back. Yeah.
Like, with that's the PlayStation VR.
That is the weirdest part of VR for me. Like, every time I see those demos, like, it is still so weird to me that, like, the Move is potentially relevant again.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. That's like that they've created the future and you can only play it with controllers from 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that like they will probably sell more moves in connection with VR than they ever did on PS3.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is if they repackage them, it's hand in hand with basically ostensibly a new console launch. Is what they're treating it like. It's so weird.
It's crazy. We're only a few months away from that.
Yep.
Couple more trends. Annualized franchises wasn't really a thing. I don't think 10 years ago.
I mean, sports were.
Okay, well, sports, but
outside of sports, maybe.
I mean, yeah. Now, how many years in a row did we get? Have we gotten a Call of Duty now?
Yeah,
yeah.
And Assassin's Creed.
12?
Yep,
yep.
How many Call of Duty games have there been?
There's a
1, 2, 3, 4.
Now,
but Thin Red
it wasn't
Line.
Originally annualized, though, right?
For the no, first it always three. Was.
Big
it
red,
always
not was. Thin Red Line. Big Red.
The
one.
Big Red. Red
big
one.
Red one. Yeah, Thin Red Line.
Refers to the Big Red one. That is.
Right. The harder thing is counting the spin-offs.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I'm rapidly losing interest.
It's at least since 2006 because that was Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, that's when there was. We started reading backlash about that stuff too. Where if you said a franchise was annualized, it was a bad thing.
It killed Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Activision, they're kind of the masters of just like over and over and over and over again, and then it's not successful, and they move on. And yeah, Skylanders is kind of the next victim of that, I guess.
Ubisoft does it too. Assassin's Creed and Just Dance.
At least they learned. They rescued the Assassin's Creed.
It's true.
Except we do have a movie coming this year.
So yeah.
Not like there's
they kind of did the exact opposite of what they should have done.
All right, those are the big trends that stick out to me over the past 10 years. The biggest games of the last 10 years, biggest selling games. You guys know what the number one selling game of the last 10 years
Minecraft.
Is. Minecraft.
Yep. Yeah. Followed by sure.
GTA.
GTA.
Well, for Wii counting Sports. Pack-ins, Wii Sports is the number two.
Oh, yeah.
But all of those games sold really well in Wii Sports Resort, Wii Fit. Mario Kart
Mario
Wii.
Kart was massive.
Mario Kart Wii was massive.
Wii Play, because that was the only way to get the second controller for a little while.
Wii Play was also really good.
That's such a little really star next to that one.
Yeah. I don't really remember what Wii Play is.
Because no one played it. Like, I know so many people who have sealed copies of Wii Play because they bought it for the controller and then threw it in a drawer.
It's like, it's a bunch of mini games, four of which are like really cool, and then, you know, 16 of which are just kind of garbage.
But I don't remember there were that many, man.
Like, that was a game that was in the mix when you would have, like, Wii parties. Like, let's play Wii Sports for a while, let's play the couple of good Wii Play games, let's play the WarioWare on the Wii, and then your evening was...
There was legit, like, Justin's totally right. There was legit a few, like, really good games in Wii Play, but like every mini game collection that plagued that era and every era.
Yeah, God.
It's mostly bad. But I thought it was weird how they basically figured out a way to sell a controller and have it crack the top 10 on NPD every single month.
Yeah.
Which was really nuts to me, because essentially they were just selling an extra Wiimote, right? And for a while, that was the only way to even find a Wiimote.
I think it was literally the only way, because
they didn't sell it on its own for a while.
The console itself, I think they sold it on its own, but it was like a unicorn. Like, you could never find accessories or consoles in stores.
Yeah.
So all that Wii stuff sold well.
You have a second bottle of champagne, right?
I don't have a second bottle of champagne. This is it. But we can go to the bar after this.
All right.
Yep.
You're coming with us.
Both GTA 4 and 5.
We carry the camera.
GTA 4 and 5 both came out in the past 10 years, obviously. Huge selling games. New Super Mario Brothers on Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The first one was DS.
Yeah, but that came out in 05, maybe. Well, maybe not that soon.
Yeah, because it was. It might have even been four, I feel
New Super Mario Brothers and Wii came out
around that. I mean, around then.
I think that game came out around the time I started at IGN.
Is the Wii one the bad one? Just not bad, but just boring.
The worst one to me is the
DS Mario Brothers, boring.
New Super Mario Brothers 2, and then the DS one's the original one, though. Yeah. I feel like the Wii one's the good one because it added all the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah, so multiplayer is frantic and awesome in that game. It's really cool. Like, I remember I beat New Super Mario Brothers on Wii with the then GameSpy staff. It was like me, Will Tuttle, Anthony Gallegos, and Ryan Scott, and we beat Bowser with all four players intact. And
that was
awesome.
When you got the bubble when someone and that was such a smart system that so many games have kind
of. But it's
taken
also
since
weird.
Then.
Like, I remember playing that four player Mario. It was a case of. You can't always trust people to want what they think they want. Yeah. People have been saying for 20 years, like, why do we have to take turns? Just let us play at once. And it turns out you just get in each other's way and die all the time.
Well, so that's
actually fun, but it's still like, it's not how you think.
There was a sweet spot, and it was two or three players. Yeah. When you played with four, no one ever got along.
You just throw your friend in the pit.
Well, that was it. You could pick people up and just throw them in the garbage and then kill them. But yeah, I mean, that was, speaking of analyzing games, like, we saw there was New Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, there was
Super Mario Brothers 2, which was the third one.
That's the 3DS
one. Then there was
a
Wii U launch one, and then the Luigi one.
DLC, yeah.
And so we got five of those games.
Four and a half
within just a few years. And we were like, everyone's, you gotta stop making these.
Yeah.
And then they did! And I would kill for one of those games right now.
Yeah,
no, but I like that they moved on to other, like, they took that kind of 3D sprites, 2D world, and they made a Yoshi game that I actually really liked. They made
Mario Maker, which is the big one.
Well, Mario Maker, that's true too.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, even stuff like Link Between Worlds is at least visually inspired by kind of that style.
I mean, I like, thinking back to the mid-2000s is just weird. Like, it's, you forget, like, it's crazy how fast you forget that, like, it was a big deal for Mario to go 2D again.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't sure that that would ever happen. Like, Mario's just a 3D franchise now. And they made four games that said, you know, nah, we'll do both. And then everyone could kind of relax.
If you made a 2D game during the N64 era, people were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is garbage. Go back. Why are you going back in time, old man?
Even with XBLA stuff.
To be fair, a lot of gamers still say that today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, I don't understand that at all. That's
which is why we're getting Metroid Prime Federation Force instead of just getting that, like, Metroid Dread style game that everyone's wanted for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's been Marty's thing forever, is like the idea of they get out on stage at E3 or in a direct, I guess, and they announce Mario Brothers 4 or Super Mario Brothers 4, and that it's a 2D side scrolling Mario game.
That'd be great.
Yep.
One of the best-selling games of the last 10 years was released in 2012 for PC, Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah.
And then it came to consoles, and it's awesome.
It's awesome on consoles.
Yeah, it has the smartest, like, the way they adapted the UI and the menus for consoles is so smart. Mm-hmm. I totally didn't see how that would work in consoles, but it works really, really
well. I wonder if that game's done or if it has one more expansion coming. BlizzCon's coming up.
Yeah, I think we'll find out then.
All of the Call of Duties, I believe Modern Warfare 3 is the best-selling one.
Was that the peak?
Is it 2 or is it 3?
Call of Duty. I thought 2 was the peak Call of Duty, but it's around that era.
Yeah.
I pulled numbers for this, so.
And 3 was ahead?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's 3.
That franchise has been really weird to watch, by the way.
Yeah, because 3 was the creative point where I think it fell off. That was when Infinity Ward was just a mess in the wake of Call of Duty 2 and everyone's leaving to start Respawn.
Yeah, and it's also like, watching all the sort of like studios split out and stuff like that. But it's been really, it's sort of like when you saw Batman vs. Superman, sorry to evoke those memories, and then you read like the charts the next week or two where it was like, oh, this movie's making $850 million.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, but it needs to make $1 billion to be successful.
And it fell off 70% in the second.
Call of Duty has a sort of the same, I mean, Call of Duty has very long legs, but not as long as it used to, I believe. More first person. I mean,
and it's the best soap opera ever, because if you watch Infinity Ward, established the brand. They were the A-team for sure. Yeah. When Treyarch started, they made World at War, which was by far at the time the worst one. But now Treyarch is the A-team.
Yeah.
Now Black Ops is the best. Like, the sub-franchises are really interesting too, because Black Ops does so well, but Ghosts really didn't. And Advanced Warfare did well, but it totally didn't crack Black Ops numbers.
I mean, they'd be making more Advanced Warfares if that was a success. They wouldn't have had to keep doing different sub-brands. I mean, Call of Duty has this floor of people that will buy it no matter what. It's like, Trump could eat a baby and he'd still get 35% of people would vote for him.
Yeah.
And so Call of Duty will forever sell you know, 5, 6, 7 million copies.
Yep, and that's why Black Ops 3 was still on 360 and PS3.
Yeah,
because that's why there are still those people.
Even all the downvotes on Infinite Warfare, it'll be fine,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, like, it won't... I don't know what their sales expectations are, but it's probably going to come a little under them. But it still will sell better than 99% of games that come out this year.
That's so. The thing. Like, a failure for Call... Like, Ghosts didn't do anywhere near as well as, like, a Black Ops or a Black Ops 2. But compared to any other game, it did incredibly well.
Yeah. Finally, Bethesda has had a very good 10 years. Skyrim is huge.
Yeah.
And Fallout, like, was reborn just in the past 10 years with Fallout 3.
It is insane what they have created with that franchise.
People are so skeptical about Fallout 3, coming off of 1 and 2 being such different experiences. And,
They were PC games. And
And Bethesda has always been a company that releases and publishes quality games, you know, forever. But they were a company that was a little bit more like a Rockstar or... you know, they would release a game every 5 years, and you would love it and play it, and then you'd wait 5 years for the next one. But they've been really smart with their franchises and what they've picked to develop internally and what they've picked to publish, and now they can kind of alternate between Fallout and Elder Scrolls, and now they have Doom back in their stable, and Dishonored.
Yeah, Dishonored 2 looks incredible. I think Doom... I kind of thought it would be bad, and then it's so it's smart really fun, and good.
And Wolfenstein is back now and relevant again. Like, I mean, they've been really smart about just brick by brick, you know, building up to. They've taken their time to really become a powerhouse.
Just the fact that they have their own press conference now.
Yeah.
Had you when you were playing Fallout 3, if you were like, see this name right there, these guys are going to have like 90 minutes every year at E3 where they get to just
and
talk about.
Well, and everyone thought they did it last year just to show off Fallout to the world, which, I mean, they did. But then they scheduled another one this year.
And this year's was great.
You know,
I mean, they've also moved away from stuff like Brink or stuff like that had their name on it that wasn't necessarily part of their like proper library.
Yeah, they've really come on strong in the last decade.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to our Gamescom preview, video games often get a bad rep for having sequelitis, publishing sequels sequel after sequel. Here are a bunch of beloved video game franchises that did not even exist 10 years ago.
Wow. Ooh.
Gears of War.
Yeah.
Uncharted.
Yeah.
Minecraft. Assassin's Creed. Borderlands. BioShock. Yes. Professor Layton. The whole Souls series. Demon's Souls and Dark Souls. Scribblenauts. The Witcher. Left 4 Dead. Mass Effect. Saints Row. Dead Rising. Watch Dogs. Just Cause. Dead Space. These are all from just the last 10 years.
And some of those went through, Dead Space went through a whole peak and valley and is now done.
I hope they'll bring that back.
It's been a pretty good decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I met all you guys this decade.
Yeah, that's true.
Aww.
Not me. I've known you since your last life.
What?
We just nothing.
What was I?
What was I?
Was I on the Titanic?
Yes.
Actually, I think 2 weeks from right now, we're probably going to be live streaming from Gamescom in Germany.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You three chuckleheads, but not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we leave...
Justin's not allowed back in Germany after the 1995 incident.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, we
horrible
leave
thing you did.
Week from Saturday, we fly out, and then we start the following
Wednesday. I actually
Wednesday.
Fly out before that.
Oh.
But, yeah, I'll meet you there.
Okay.
See you there.
I hope so. You're just there in, like a shirt that's clearly on fire, and you're like, if anyone asks, I'm not here.
Gamescom is the biggest trade show. It's not even a trade show. Biggest video game show in terms of attendance in the world. By a large margin.
I think last year was like 350,000.
What?
That's too many.
Is crazy.
Crazy amount of people.
That's like essentially 10 times bigger than like a PAX or an E3 or whatever.
But we're going to be getting updates on a lot of big upcoming games. Here's what we've confirmed so far as of today. We know we're going to be seeing two games that are actually going to be out soon, Final Fantasy XV and Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yep.
15 is an interesting case where everything I read about that game and like we did our Making Of series, it really makes it look promising that its E3 demo was so shaky.
Well,
and it's like, but which one's real? Like, is it just, did they just unfortunately have a sort of shaky demo and the game's really awesome? Or is a demo showing us the real story? And, you know, I guess we'll find out soon.
I have a lot of faith in that game. I mean, especially.
I want it to be really good.
We spent time in that studio and talking to those guys, like, they seem to get it. And, like, obviously we won't know until we play the final game, but I think they understand what made Final Fantasy great in the first place, and they understand kind of where it has stumbled. They're super open about it not really being as relevant as it once was. Like, I have a lot of faith in that team.
Make Final Fantasy great again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be seeing Gwent again,
Ooh.
The standalone Gwent game, which I think, who's the publisher? Warner Brothers is publishing that? Yeah.
Are they?
Publish The Witcher, right?
Publish Witcher, yeah.
And I feel like they're starting to put a lot of marketing muscle behind this, but even though the people that have played it
have positive things to say. I don't really sense a lot of excitement for the game.
Well, I think it feels like an also-ran to... There's so many card games right
now. There's also The Elder Scrolls one.
Yeah, exactly. Hearthstone,
it is, I mean, I would... we'll see when they come out. I consider kind of Elder Scrolls the also-ran. Gwent is a very, very different... I sort of, it's a pet peeve of mine when it gets lumped in with those other card games, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, but I just, because.
I hate card games.
It's a game that deals with cards, but it's completely different mechanically, and it's not just a different coat of paint. Like, it's like calling, you know, Call of Duty and Halo the same thing. Like, they're, like, Gwent.
They're both shooters. I was just, they're just part of the same genre.
I'm just saying, like 90% of card games that are on the market said, hey, Hearthstone's a thing. Let's make our flavor of that. And Gwent's a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also, like, so there's that weird thing, like, people played Fable, and they had, like, the pub games in it that came out separately.
I love Fable pub games.
Yeah, Fable pub games is amazing. But I also, like, there are plenty of people who love Fable and separate it from pub games. Whereas with Witcher 3, I do feel like people talked about Gwent more than they talked about, like, Caravan in Fallout or anything like that. Like, I think there are more people who are hardcore about Gwent. Caravan was the card game in Fallout, I think, New Vegas?
Dude, I played that game like 50 hours. I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in there. No. But yeah, I do think Gwent
is
capable of standing on its own. And so I'm actually super, like, that'll be fascinating because Witcher 3 did incredibly well and obviously was super well received. We gave it Game of the Year. So, like, what, I want to see how Gwent will carry over.
It depends on its free-to-play hooks and how they support it and just what their vision is for that game. Mm.
We'll be seeing both Call of Duty Infinite Warfare and Battlefield 1, two first-person shooters taking place in very different time periods.
Which I'm super excited for Battlefield 1. I haven't cared about a Battlefield probably since 3, but this one looks cool.
And then Titanfall 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think all three, Battlefield and Titanfall come out both in October, and then
they're a week apart each. So I think it's Titanfall, they're Battlefield, Call of Duty.
Yes.
Or maybe reverse Battlefield and Titanfall?
Well, Call of Duty might be 2 weeks later, but the thing that's weird to me is that EA releases their two big marquee first-person shooters a week apart. I asked them about that at E3, and I need to go back and listen to the transcript. They gave me kind of a weird answer. They're just like, there's room for both.
Yeah, they're in a weird boat, especially with Mass Effect now in Q1, Need for Speed this year. Like, the EA as a company is actually really fascinating to me because they're kind of changing their strategy.
No Need for Speed sounds like something a cop would say.
No, there's no Need for Speed this year.
From Microsoft.
The makers of Where's the Fire?
From Microsoft, we'll be getting updates on Halo Wars 2, Gears of War 4.
Gears looks so good.
ReCore and Sea of Thieves.
Yep. And maybe Scalebound or Crackdown? Like, that's such a question mark?
That's weird, yeah. We saw Scalebound again at E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that was briefly.
You played ReCore at E3, right?
I didn't play it, no.
You didn't play it?
We had it on our live show, but it was a demo.
Did you like it?
It seemed fun. It didn't seem exceptional in any way.
I agree.
Because I played Sea of Thieves with, were you there?
Yeah.
It was you, me, Marty Sliva, and Alana Pearson. We had we didn't do anything, but we had a really good time. Like, it just felt like being in like a Google Hangout or like a Skype chat with a bunch of friends on a boat.
It was super fun. It was probably the most fun I had playing anything in E3. I also don't know what the game is.
Yeah.
Like, we played it for whatever that was, 20 minutes, and it really was. It was awesome. It was a really cool experience. But, like, is that the game? Or is that, like, a mode in the game? Like, I was just a little confused about, like, what the big picture is.
Yeah they got a little bit of the No Man's Sky syndrome.
Yes, 100%.
And Crackdown's a weird one because they showed that at Gamescom last year, and they show off how the cloud computing is going to...
And it was incredible.
...make all this this destruction on a huge scale possible.
Yeah.
And ever since then, they've just been... It wasn't at
E3. So they weren't in the conference at all. The conference ended, and they immediately put out a press release that's like, hey, we're delayed, and we hope to show you more soon. And then they're not publicly... Like, we haven't heard anything about them being at Gamescom.
Well, there was that one quote from... an executive in Microsoft being like, "Oh, we didn't need Crackdown this year because we have so many games." And it was like, "Oh, well, I mean, I'll be the judge of that." Thanks.
We'll also be seeing Ukulele.
Mm-hmm. So excited!
Very
for that.
Excited for
the toy box is so good. Yep. Oh my god, it's so fun!
It's really fun.
It's perfect. It feels like Banjo in the best way. Mm.
Civilization 6 will be at the show.
Fun to play with 300,000 other people crushing around you. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Resident Evil 7, the VR Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Well, but not exclusively VR, but you can be played in VR.
Okay, And then Cliff Bleszinski's new game, Lawbreakers, is going to be there, which I don't feel like we've seen in a while.
It's being reworked from, did it go from free-to-play to $60 or vice versa?
Ooh, I don't know.
They made a change there, I don't know if it's in response to Overwatch or what it is, but that game looks cool, but Overwatch may have stolen some of its thunder.
I feel bad. They're completely separate games. I always confuse Lawbreakers and Paragon. Like, I will always confuse those two, even though they are not alike whatsoever. I just think I lump them into that kind of, like, generalized MOBA transformation into shooter slash hero shooter genre.
Paragon's way more of a MOBA.
Yeah, oh, Paragon's straight up unapologetically a MOBA, I think.
I mean, I think it's perfectly okay that your brain does that, and that's a big struggle that a lot of these developers are going to have to fight.
And it's unfair to say they're not alike whatsoever, because each game is made up of three syllables.
That's true.
So
it's true.
Yep.
Makes it.
I do. I rate games based on syllables. Number of syllables is my big criteria.
So
Zack and Wiki, the adventure of the cursed treasure.
Yep. Sounds good.
That's a lot of syllables.
It's like Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
is good.
That's high. Yeah. The more syllables, the better the game. It's proven.
We're gonna be seeing that on PS4.
The Legend of Zelda: The Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, those are also game titles.
Injustice 2 will be there. They just announced two new characters.
Three
at
syllables.
Yeah. Well, no.
Injustice. No, it's not.
I got really excited with that.
Never put me on a game show.
I hope they do more characters. I really wasn't crazy about the first Injustice, but I'm a sucker for character reveals. I think like a cool trailer for whoever, like whichever DC character they do would be really cool.
Mafia 3 will be there, although that's coming out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
We said Sea of Thieves, Battlefront VR.
So excited for that.
Supposed to be there.
It's going
to
be a great
VR version of Battlefront. And then you mentioned Zelda. I don't know, like, that's the only game Nintendo, the biggest game Nintendo has, and Nintendo usually goes to Gamescom, so they're not. So
do they really?
Sony, okay, that's good to know. Like, last year was all Microsoft. Sony and Nintendo didn't really have a presence, so.
Weird.
It seems like this year is going to be kind of the same. Sony went for Paris Games Week instead last year as their big European show. Mm-hmm.
So do you think this is a little bit of inside baseball, but when you go to E3 years and years, you'll see companies reuse elements of their booth.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see the same huge round Nintendo sign, you know, year after year after year, and they put it in storage and, you know, cart it back out. But as everyone knows, at E3, they had this crazy, they recreated Hyrule with all this crazy stuff. Like,
don't they want to use that again?
So, and it wasn't at Comic-Con, right?
So to speak on that, and Damon can speak on that too, we were at Comic-Con, and Nintendo's Comic-Con lineup was completely different than E3.
Wow. Yeah.
They were leaning into a lot of, like, the
Paper Mario.
Paper Mario.
And, like, Metroid Prime.
The new Yo-Kai Watch, the new Metroid Prime game, the NES Mini.
Weird.
But then they had a bunch of, like, kind of greatest hit stuff, which I think they were like, we got this old Donkey Kong barrel, and we got this big 3DS, and here's, like, a big statue of a Goomba, and they just kind of trotted it all out there.
Here's you a bunch
go,
of trash.
Yeah, you could basically go play Mario Kart 7 or 8 or whatever the hell.
I mean, that's possibly my favorite part of Gamescom, is that because there's so much space and so many people, the booths, even when there's nothing new, like last year Sony had literally nothing new at the show, but their booth was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they had all these like incredible like mascot characters, and they had like this big structure built. And so that feels like the place where Nintendo would recreate Zelda. But I don't know, I don't think we'll see anything new from it necessarily.
No.
And then that game's going to come out, and they're going to throw that beautiful, handcrafted, meticulously made stuff in the trash.
What if it was a conference room at IGN? Reggie.
Yeah.
I'll call him after.
If you work at Nintendo, they have an auction for it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about that?
No. I didn't know that.
No, they have like internal auctions at Nintendo of America where they're just like, here's a bunch of stuff we've had. Mike Drucker, who used
wants
to.
Who wants this Mugoblin or whatever?
Yeah. They'll just basically
$5. I hear $5. Do I hear $5.50?
Yeah, like it's where people bought like boxed Nintendo cereal that had never been opened and stuff like that. It's still in the bags.
I love the idea of walking into like Rich George's bedroom and it's like a McGoblin.
But Zelda was at San Diego Comic-Con in like a hotel room.
Yeah, like on the show floor.
No show floor. They didn't move all that stuff into some guy's hotel. And I don't know if we talked about this story on the show before, but Marty Sliva previewed it at a San Diego Comic-Con. And he thought he was supposed to go on, I believe, Friday morning. And instead he showed up on Thursday morning. And he knocked on some random hotel suite. And this old couple opened the door. And he was like, is
I'm
Zelda
here to play
here?
Zelda.
And they were like, who are you? And he's like, oh my god, I got the day wrong. And then he left, and then they left, and then the next day he came back to the same room and Zelda.
So right room, wrong day?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It'd be a good name for a movie.
Yeah.
The story would have been better if the old couple invited him in anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just let's see what happens.
And they played like Zelda on NES.
Or if the old couple had been like, what an idiot, and closed the door, and they're like, now we've got Zelda all to ourselves.
So if Sony's not there, then I guess we're not going to be seeing Last Guardian, even though that's out in October as well.
Yeah, and PSVR.
PSVR, which is also out in October.
A month and a half out from PSVR by that point.
Yeah.
Do you remember my housewarming party?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was, my neighbors were having a quinceañera, and Marty wandered into that party instead of my housewarming.
That's right. I remember being
glasses. Said, Justin's Marty. Got some weird friends.
That boy needs new glasses.
All right, it is time for Video Game 20 questions, and one of the greatest, biggest requests I receive is for me to actually play the game, and I always tell people, Bob Barker does not play The Price is Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
But since this is a special occasion and it's episode 400, I will play Video Game 20 Questions. I just ask you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the studio and let you guys decide amongst yourselves what game to give me, and I'll come back in and I'll play. Just keep in mind, I don't pick games that I know you'll never guess.
Yeah.
So try to pick something that you think I could reasonably.
Well, I watched last week and the Karnov thing was incredible.
Yeah, I don't know where that
so
came
funny.
From.
So funny.
Dude, I rewatched it and I freeze framed on your face. It's like that Simpsons joke where they can pinpoint the exact moment that Ralph Wiggum's heart broke. Yep. You can pinpoint, you're going, oh, then you go, oh. You get so excited for a second.
It's incredible. It's so good.
Yeah, okay, so just try to keep it something reasonable. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to step outside, and then I'm going to turn my mic off, and then do you guys just want to yell for me to come back in?
Yeah.
I'll come back in. All right, don't take too much time.
Okay.
Also, if you see another bottle of champagne, maybe bring that.
I already have a good idea for one.
Wait for him to leave.
Wait for him to leave. I have a really good idea for one. Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies would be really good.
It's been a rare game. It was an Xbox game. It was originally slated for, I believe, the GameCube.
I don't know if I know enough about it to answer granular questions.
Though. I don't either.
I was thinking like maybe 16-bit era, like a Super Punch-Out, or like a Mega Man X, or...
Yeah. I like Super Punch-Out.
I feel like a tricky one is like a Mega Man sequel, because like it could be so many different ones. That almost feels unfair.
Okay, and I looked up, we did Punch-Out once, but we've never done Super Punch-Out.
Okay.
Do you think you can get Super Punch-Out?
We want to be a really easy, tough one?
Or like Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
It's a really tough one. ActRaiser. Because it's two genres in one. It's a side-scrolling platformer, 16-bit. It's on the Super Nintendo. We have to look up the
year and the developer. That's the thing. I wanted to
look up the year and developer.
I mean,
I got. Pick Arkham Asylum because of the way that the controversy you guys had about whether or not that's based in America. That's a throwback to an old question.
Oh God!
But it's also one of his favorite games, right?
Yeah, that's a game we've done before.
I think it'd be funny to throw it back at him though.
I want to. Yeah. I think I want to do Super Punch-Out.
Okay.
You guys okay with that?
I hope they don't edit this part out of the episode and it's just us looking at our phones.
Oh, I hope so too. Let's keep it. Damon, we're ready for you.
Yeah, I'll go get him. Okay. I'll go get him.
Do you know what year?
What if I just never come back?
Do I need to look up the year and the developer though?
Whoa, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're ready.
We're going to pull up some data just to make sure we don't pull a Damon.
Oh, come on. That's not a real thing. All right.
He'll never guess Karnov.
We should do Karnov again.
Okay.
Okay, I have the Wikipedia page open.
Okay. Who's going to be keeping track of how many questions? Should I just count on my hands again?
No, I'll keep track.
Okay, Justin's got it.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Welcome to Video Game 20 Questions.
Thank you.
You all know how this works.
Yep.
Okay, was this game released before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, I've been thinking about this. I think you got to try and narrow it down to like a decade or a console generation, then to a console, then maybe to a developer.
Yeah.
And
then, I like that you've been, good. This is for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're learning from all of our mistakes. I like that.
Was this game released before January 1st, 1990?
No.
Okay. We're talking about a 90s game.
That's
correct. Only 90s kids will remember this.
So one thing, a line of questioning that's difficult is when you ask, like, is this a Nintendo 64 game? And it's like, there are actually very few games that only ever came to one platform.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, it's like hard to actually narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is, delightful being on the other side of the looking glass.
Yeah.
On this
I'm sure. Okay, how about this? Do you guys know if I like this game?
I don't know. I would guess. I would say.
I would guess yes.
Yes.
I would be surprised if you didn't. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yes.
You feel pretty confident.
Hold on. We got to get together on something real quick. Okay. We have three judges right now. We're all throwing out different shades of gray, and we're forming one color for him. Usually, Damon hosts a show, and then we go.
Yep.
You ask a question, yes or no.
Okay. Justin is the elected speaker.
We reserve the right to convene for a moment.
Yes.
Sir, before we break.
Rabble.
Okay.
Rabble.
But you feel pretty confident that I like this game.
Yeah.
I think you would, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Say it again.
All right, let's see. Is this a 16-bit game?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't want to. I don't want to take unilateral action without you guys.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Was this game? Was it a super? Well. Hold on. Did this game appear on the Super Nintendo?
Yes. You're doing a very good job so far.
Yeah, you're doing really good.
We may have taken it a little. Well, I don't want to.
You might guess it.
Is the developer of this game still making games?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said yes.
It is not Super Karnov.
It is a. At least it was on the Super Nintendo. Because if not,
that's not well,
the group. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Don't do this.
Don't be weird. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that thing where you're weird.
This is why they don't invite me on the show very often.
Okay, so it's a Super Nintendo game made by a developer who's still in business. How to narrow it down from there? It's like, man, do I burn a bunch of questions asking about developers?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, that counts.
That was a question.
Was it made by Nintendo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay, a Nintendo game on the Super Nintendo. How many is that?
Seven.
Okay.
You got less than 10.
You've gotten it in less questions than that before.
Seven's really fast.
Yeah. You're
in great shape.
You're hot for seven. You're doing good.
Okay. So let's see.
Here's where it all falls apart, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is where your brain starts telling you that it's one thing, yep. And it's another thing.
Yep. I wish we would have just not had a game in mind, and we're just shouting out yes or no. See.
That still could be true.
Is this game part of the Mario universe?
No.
Which would include, like,
no.
It would include Yoshi's Island, Mario World.
No.
That's okay. A really good question.
Yeah, that's a really good
You're
question.
You're good at this, it turns out.
Well, don't jinx me. Is it, well, okay.
I was eight.
So not.
I almost didn't add a question there. I have one job.
So what I think is, you didn't, it wasn't like an immediate no.
It's a no.
But if it were like Zelda, you'd say no. But you guys had to be like, no.
Zelda appears in Mario RPG.
So but I don't think, Samus. Well, wait. Yeah, but this game wouldn't be Mario RPG. And I wouldn't think
sure.
This game is definitively not in the Mario universe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a Mario game. I was the only reason there was hesitation is because we're trying not to shout things out.
Yeah.
Let me think.
12 questions left.
Really?
No, at 10 we say that's 10.
Okay, my mistake.
Okay. It is a Nintendo made game on Super Nintendo that is not in the Mario universe. That leaves us with Zelda, Kirby, Metroid, even like Super Punch-Out. Okay.
For some reason, I'm super nervous. Like, I'm not even playing the game.
I don't think it's Zelda, because you guys had to say no. And Zelda's so obviously not in the Mario universe.
I mean, there's a picture of Mario in the castle in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I was saying.
But this is a Super Nintendo game.
But that
Zelda has
the
kissed Luigi in my drawings.
Okay, so you're saying it is a Zelda game then? Okay,
you're getting a lot of free. You're getting a lot of free information here.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of free info on this one. This should be called 10 questions.
There's only one Zelda game on the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that a question?
No. It's not a question. Okay, is this game in the Zelda universe?
No.
Okay. Is this game in the Metroid universe?
No.
That's 10.
You want to talk about Kirby? We can
That's
talk about
10,
Kirby.
Everybody.
Let's talk about that Kirby.
Oh, I love Kirby.
I love Kirby, too. He's great.
So cute.
He's cute, and he turns into the things he eats. It's adorable.
Yep. Except for not Same. In the very first Kirby game.
Is this game in a Nintendo series that continues on past the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Yes.
That's 11.
Okay.
Started out real strong.
Does the game involve? Are there animals in this game, or
we need to,
or humanoid animals?
We need to convene on this.
Okay,
you gotta just turn off your ears for a moment. That's
no.
Question 12.
No. Wow,
no.
Not animals in this game.
No.
Okay, no.
We'll have a long talk about this later, but no, right now.
Yeah, someone's very mad on Twitter right now.
Whatever, that dude's always mad.
Not Star Fox, not Donkey Kong Country.
You're doing
Are those questions?
No, I'm saying I'm ruling these out.
You're doing a good job of
I'm verbalizing my thought process for the viewers and listeners.
That's 12, I think. Why am I holding up? 12.
Let's go with 12.
You answer, you need some extra fingers? I'll be your extra fingers.
Let him. Is there flying in this game?
No.
No.
Wow, okay. Now, hold on. Let me just ask you this. Would you consider a Metroid or another alien to be an animal?
Would I consider an alien to be an animal?
Right, when I asked if there are animals in this game and you said no.
Oh, God.
That's because you wouldn't have considered.
I mean, you feel like a.
We're getting deep. To me, an alien can be an animal if they don't have intelligence.
Yeah, like when you like say animal, smart. You're essentially saying, are there non-humans in it? So I would.
Ridley
I
is a dragon, right?
Yeah.
And dragons are lizards.
Yeah.
But I would call him an animal. Yeah. I would call like the beasts that you shoot in that game an animal.
I would call some men animals.
Metroid's an animal.
The Metroid is borderline.
Men is the most dangerous game.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? How do you rule on that?
What's the question?
I say,
is alien an animal?
Are we asking that? Do you guys consider Metroid to have aliens or and that's not, have animals in it?
That's not one of the 20 Metroid questions.
I'm just asking. Yes.
Metroid has animals in it.
But that should be one of the questions.
By your logic, then, this game cannot be Metroid.
Yeah, but you already asked if it's in the Metroid franchise.
Oh, I did? No. Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Well, thanks. All right.
How many are we up to?
13.
So,
all right, let's
seven
recap.
Seven questions left.
Recapping.
Nintendo made
yeah.
Super Nintendo game.
Yep.
Not in the Mario, Metroid, or Zelda universes. Yep. Does not have animals. Does not have flying. Aliens or animals.
Yep. And it did continue past the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it continued past the Super Nintendo.
Let me ask you this. This is not one of my... This is just to clarify. Would you consider Kirby to be an animal?
Are you asking a lot of questions?
We had this fight at PAX that one time.
No, Kirby's not an animal.
Okay. Just clarifying.
What is Kirby?
He has intelligence.
We'll talk later.
Pink. So wow, we're actually getting near the end of the Nintendo made Super Nintendo games I can think of.
There's a lot of weird ones. You got to think.
Yep, got to think.
It's more than you'd ever know, as they say, as no one's ever said. Just continue. We're doing great so far. Thanks.
Is this game a sequel?
Yes.
Okay.
So much for convening with the team, huh?
We'll put...
No, whatever.
Why are you...
completely kidding. You're doing great.
Shh.
All right.
It's fine. Six questions left.
Six questions left.
You want to ask us about animals? I'll answer about animals.
I should have asked a more specific question.
It's a giraffe, man.
It's a sequel?
Yeah.
On the Super Nintendo.
Did you ask me if a giraffe is an animal?
Is it a... is it a sports game?
Yes. I don't know why we're hesitating on things that are obviously... Like, we're hesitating at inappropriate times, and then we're being super sure at times that are also kind of inappropriate.
Is there boxing in the game?
Oh, there sure is.
Is it Super Punch-Out?
Yes!
Nice 17 work. Questions!
Ooh, okay, hold on. There. So let's talk about the two things that completely threw me off here.
Yep.
Number one, you asked if it's the Mario universe. In the original Punch-Out, Mario
exactly.
is the ref.
That's
number
why
two, you asked if
You're
there's right. animals. In the original Punch-Out, Great Tiger has a tiger on his head.
Well, and also...
He's technically a dead animal.
In the original one, Donkey Kong's in the audience.
Yes, exactly. Like, that was why I was...
You know, okay.
And you straight up fight Donkey Kong in Punch-Out for Wii.
Counterpoint, the goddamn game isn't Punch-Out. It's Super Punch-Out.
That's true.
No, but no, I agree with that, but is it in the Mario universe?
And also, the Great Tiger has a turban on his head.
If the original Punch-Out has Mario in it, and this is a sequel to that, this technically is in the Mario universe.
Yeah. It's not Great Tiger has a dead tiger draped over the ring posts when he does his interviews.
And the way you asked your question was, I believe you said, is the Mario universe rather than is this a Mario game?
Yeah, I asked if it was the Mario universe.
I don't think...
Because I was trying to move Mario sports game.
Yeah, I think Mario being the referee doesn't make it part of the Mario universe. It's not that these Nintendo characters get together and box each other.
No, like, but the Mario...
They kart race together.
But that's got to work under the Mario universe, because his universe doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, he's also in tennis and baseball and RPG.
Or like OG Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but those all have like Peach's Castle in the background and stuff. Like, he's a cameo.
Maybe this is the boxing room of Peach's Castle.
It's in the basement.
Yeah, in the basement. She's a cool boxing ring.
And never thought about that.
Dead tigers are hanging out.
I stand by my decision. I think saying it's in the Mario universe would have led you astray.
That's probably
that was the thing that felt that would be super misleading to say yes.
Yeah, the role is, you know, 20 questions is not a me versus you scenario. I'm here trying to help you guys get to the answer.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
You did a very good job.
We're learning.
Thank you. That's very stressful.
A lot of pressure, right?
That is very lost.
Right?
Very stressful. I have a newfound respect for what I put you guys through every week.
What was the one we almost...
Maybe we are the Walking Dead.
Do you think
dead.
You would have gotten ActRaiser?
I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to say.
ActRaiser and Grab by the Ghoulies you were also going to do.
Yeah, those were my first two picks.
Is ActRaiser published by Nintendo?
We don't know.
Yeah, see, that's why...
That was why, yeah, we had to do a lot of...
That would have been hard for me.
ActRaiser is the weird game where you were like, is this an RPG? And I've been like, yeah. Is it a platforming game? Yes. Like, it's both.
But then... If I could have gotten there probably that way.
Yeah.
Platforming RPG, yeah.
With right. God Sim elements, yeah.
That was good. Thanks, guys.
Congrats.
That is episode 400 of GameScoop. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in every week after week, listening to the show, watching the show. Show would be nothing without all of you, so... Thanks for hanging out with us and for many more scoops to come. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.